All right, let's get it. Starting off hour number two, I am Jim Rome. It's great to be with you. Start this hour by... What? Adam Hawk walking in. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next hour, Walker Buehler of the LA Dodgers. And again, Dodger fan, how concerned were you last night? Down 2-1 in the sixth, knowing Max Scherzer was going to be on the mound with a chance to wrap things up this evening. But that's not what happened. The Dodgers explode, knock the Nats out, and now they've got a chance to finish tonight. Quick reminder, today is an ATP day. Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. I will answer one of them later on today. In the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better prices every day. Normally on a Monday, I recap the entire NFL weekend to start the program, but Jay Gruden superseded all of that. Fired. 5 a.m. this morning. So I spent the entire open on that. Let me double back and start hour number two by talking about what happened over the weekend. In fact, let me start by reading a few emails. Romy, I'm feeling pretty good today. Not only did the Bills win, but I made as many field goals as Cairo Santos did. Zero. Sean in Ottawa. War Bills Mafia. War Raven Steelers overtime coin toss discussion taking 3 minutes. Again, Mason Rudolph, that was a really scary shot that he took from Earl Thomas. Yeah, I know the whole, they know what they signed up for. The NFL is violent, it's physical. Yeah, of course, there's all of that. But that's about as violent a shot as you're ever going to see. And when you see his reaction, and then you see the reaction of his teammates to him laying motionless on the field, that was really scary. Man, you know it's a busy day. If I haven't even gotten to America's team going up against the Niners tonight. Great matchup. And a scary matchup for the Browns. Last line I saw was -5. But then again, the Browns were -7 last week and they won. Who you got tonight? A 49er D-line is tough now. That's scary. They get after the quarterback. But then again, so do the Browns. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not great with that kind of pressure in his face. Who do you like tonight? This email says, Dear Redskins, please don't hire Jim Harbaugh away from the University of Michigan. Sincerely, Ohio State fans. George and Seabus. That's the best. Ohio State fan. No, man, whatever you do, don't bring Harbaugh back. Nobody in the NFL hire that guy. We like things the way they are. Keep them here. The Redskins, yeah, I don't see that happening. Michigan did what they had to do, and they won. Michigan did what they had to do, and they got over, but no thanks to Harbaugh. No thanks to that offense. No thanks to him being the so-called quarterback whisperer. They're doing it with defense. They did what they had to do, but doing what they're doing is not good enough. Not good enough to beat Ohio State. And that schedule is going to get nasty. And Ohio State looks great. Explosive. Hey, Rome. That Chargers running back. What's his name? Yeah, he really made an impact with that holdout. He got nothing, and his return has made the team even worse. He's just another running back on a mediocre team. Congratulations. Jeremiah in Greenville.
Congratulations.
That's kind of tough. That's a tough take, but the numbers would indicate as much. I hate to say it, but Denver was 0-4. Jason Lockenfor and I were talking about what Jason was. It was his intel. Talking about a potential fire sale. I literally asked him on the NFL and CBS yesterday, is it possible that they would move Von Miller? So you've got a half a dozen winless teams going into last weekend. The trade deadline's coming up. You know, to me, it's one thing if the Bengals are going to move somebody or the Jets. But if you're talking about the Denver Broncos moving a Hall of Famer like Von Miller, that tells you how bad things are there. What a mess. So what happens? They beat the Chargers 2013. Melvin Gordon, 12 carries, 31 yards. And now the Chargers are a game under 500. So I'd love to tell Jeremiah what a horrible take that was, but it's really not. That holdout didn't get Melvin Gordon anything. And they get beat by a Denver team that looks like they're dead on arrival. And Rome, what the hell is Oakland thinking? How dare they go across the pond and beat the Bears? We go from one Gruden getting axed to another stepping way out of his lane and coaching up a W against a contender. They didn't even have any fans at that game. When your fan base is court-ordered to stay in the country, the last thing we'd expect is to you fly across the globe and notch one in the win column. Chucky is setting up for failure with the vertigo excuse, doesn't even know what to make of the win. Get back to who you are. You're the Raiders. Act like it. Shannon SLO, that's the thing. They're not acting like it. Those are two really good wins in a row for the Raiders. Really good wins. Which brings me back to my overall take on the NFL. Now that the dust has settled, and when you consider everything that went down in the NFL yesterday, I've got one thought. One thought. That was a weird-ass NFL Sunday, wasn't it? I mean, that was so weird that the weirdest guy of all, Adam Gase, got really weird, and I don't even have time to get to it today. I'm going to save that for a Tuesday take. Because of everything else that went down yesterday. And again, if yesterday taught us anything at all, it's that nobody knows anything. I've said it before. Let me say this again right now. When it comes to the NFL, nobody knows jack. The Saints are 3-0 without their Hall of Fame quarterback. But I called that. Sort of. The Panthers are 3-0 with their backup. Nobody called that. Ever. And speaking of the Panthers, remember when some dopes thought that Christian McCaffrey might not be able to handle the workload of an NFL running back? 231 yards from scrimmage and three touchdowns later, and that take goes right up there next to wide receiver Lamar Jackson.
Jackson?
Another horrible take. I mean, going back to McCaffrey, does this look like a dude who can't handle an NFL workload?
Allen in the shotgun, first and goal from the 5, no score. Handoff goes to McCaffrey, middle crowded, stiff arm takes it to the right, and he leaps and somersaults into the end zone for the touchdown.
Panthers radio. His teammate Brian Burns said, quote, he's probably like Thor's long-lost brother, or something like that. The man's not human. I've never seen somebody jump over a person and make that person hit the other person. I've never seen that ever before in my life. So again, in a locker room of freaky individuals athletically, for one guy to say about another guy, he's not human, that speaks to just how dramatically different this guy is. And yet this is the guy that a lot of people thought could not handle an NFL workload. Yeah, right. But he can do things like this.
First and 10, Panthers. Backed up deep. Handoff up the middle. McCaffrey running free. Unbelievable. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 across midfield. Can someone drag him down? 20 to the 15, the 10, the 5. McCaffrey takes it home.
Yeah, because you're going to run that guy down from behind. The crazy thing about football is it gives you moments like that. Amazing moments. Awesome moments. You know, get up off your couch moments. But then there are moments like the one involving Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph against Baltimore. We talked about this. If for whatever reason you haven't seen it, he was scrambling out of the pocket, looking to complete a pass to James Washington when he got hit by Earl Thomas and Brandon Carr. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's not a bad thing that you haven't seen it. You might want to keep avoiding it because it's really scary. I mean, one of the scarier things you're going to see, the stuff of nightmares, that kind of scary. Lineman Alejandro Villanueva ran over to him to appear to check to make sure that he was still breathing. That's scary. He said, quote, his eyes were open and he was breathing, but he wasn't there. He wasn't moving. I knew it was a medical emergency. Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, how many times have you seen a guy on the field react to an athlete getting hurt? React the way he did. He was overcome with emotion.
I heard of situations where, you know, the person's not moving at all, that doesn't get up. And, you know, and I was just praying to God that, you know, he gets up and he, he's our quarterback and he's our guy. I'm praying for a speedy recovery.
Like he thought that he might be unable to get up. Or maybe even worse. Like you've got one teammate rushing over to make sure he's still breathing and another one who immediately starts to pray that he's going to get up. And again, a reminder of how tough, how violent. And this is why some of you push back when I do this, but this is why I almost... Like literally every time. Literally every time. Side with every player getting as much money as they possibly can. Every single time for that reason. Because the game can be over in an instant. Hell, their career can be over in an instant. Their life can be over in an instant. And then the crazy thing is, when something like that happens, the game has to continue in an instant. Like right back to work. And while none of it feels like it matters after you see that, all of the games keep going. Like somehow you've got transition from seeing that hit to the Broncos and Chargers. You know, back to something else that was mentioned. The Broncos spent the first quarter of the season being in a, quote, world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
They were living in a world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
Guys counting the weeks until they could be done there. Living in a world of suck. There's embracing the suck, and then there's living in a world of suck. Living and yet there they were blowing out the Chargers in the first half. And then hanging on to get their first win of the season, 2013. Or how about the Colts losing to the Raiders at home, then going on the road, missing roughly half their team, and taking it to Kansas City in Kansas City. That was a huge performance. And I'm saving the best for last. About the Raiders. Alvin, can you hit me with some music? Because those same Oakland Raiders that went into Indianapolis and shocked the Colts, then got on a plane with a head coach who gets vertigo if he's on a plane for too long, flew to London where everybody knew exactly what was going to happen. They were going to show up and get humiliated by Khalil Mack and the Bears. Like, we may not know anything about the NFL, but we knew that was going to happen. It was going to be the beatdown to end all beatdowns. The only question was how many strip sacks Mack was going to end up with. Oh, and there was a beatdown, all right. Except it was Oakland beating down Chicago. The Raiders were up 17-0 before the Bears knew what hit them. 17 straight points in the second quarter against a defense that has caused everybody immense problems. Oakland goes into halftime with a 3-score lead, and the world is shocked. And then the Raiders went Raider and promptly gave up 21 straight in the third quarter. And then everybody thought the world was right once again. The Raiders are going to blow this, and everybody's going to clown them. Except they didn't. Late in the fourth quarter, down 21-17, they go on a 13-play, 97-yard drive, capped off by this.
It's a power eye look from the two. Under center, here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top, touchdown! Touchdown, Raiders! Here comes celebration Moore. Explodes on the sideline.
Raiders Radio Network. Oakland rushed for 169 yards and 3 touchdowns against one of the best run defenses in the NFL. And they did it while missing their top wide receiver. So it should have been that much easier to stop their run. Yet they kept on running and they kept on imposing their will. And they ran it right down Chicago's throat. Man, that was macho. And I've taken more than my share of runs at the Raiders. That was badass. That was macho. Really impressive. Almost as impressive is the fact that the Raiders' offensive line kept Khalil Mack pretty much under wraps. He had 3 tackles. He had a quarterback hit. He had a fumble recovery. It's a good game. But nowhere near the dominant showing that we all expected. Now, let's be clear about this. As awesome as that win was for the Raiders, and further evidence that revenge games rarely turn out to be what you expect, that doesn't mean that trading Mac was a good idea. It's still a terrible idea. But they got themselves a really sweet win. A really nice win. And I've got to imagine, Raider fan. Ooh, and another thing. I got to imagine, Raider fan, that autumn wind has got to sound pretty damn good right about now. That's got to be sweet. I did not see that coming. Didn't see it coming, even after the win against the Colts. You know, sometimes when you have, like, Victory Monday, or you get a day off after a win, how about you chase a great win in Indy over an even better win, arguably, against Chicago in London? And instead of a victory day, how about you get a victory week? How about that same coach with the vertigo chunk giving the team a week off?
I don't have a disco in here. I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing. I say this, man. I'm 56 years old. That's the most fun I've ever had tonight, man. I am so proud of you. You have no idea. I mean, we've been through a roller coaster already, but what you proved today is one thing. You can beat anybody, anywhere, on any time zone. You got it. We're going to have a great flight home. We have some injuries. I want everybody to have a great bye week. You have a whole week off.
Hey, man, they earned it. How awesome would that be? You're in London. You just shocked the world, did the Bears, going to get yourself a great flight home with whatever that involves. And then you get an entire week off in the middle of the season.
And you know,
I wonder if Raider Mike gave himself a week off after that.
And you know,
I've never heard Chunk so fired up. I'm 56 years old. Quote, I'm 56 years old, and I've never had so much fun. Hey, man, good on you. You earned it. I'm impressed. Big tip of the hat. That was badass. Ran it right down Chicago's throats. When we come back, we'll have a short segment because I went fat in that one.
Fat?
Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Man, awesome matchup tonight. Niners, Browns. Do you love Monday nights? Do you love Jack? Then get with the program. Get down to Hooters. Catch the game. Play Monday Night Moneyball every week. You're just a few questions away from making some serious money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. Easy to play. It works like making prop picks. Who's going to win? Might be you. Could not get any easier, and it is free to play. You love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix, and you can get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games. Eat, drink, and play for all the marbles. With Hooters, Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now. Then head to Hooters for every game all season long. Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday is an NFL and CBS doubleheader. Many of you are going to see two of the most dynamic young QBs in the game airing it out. When Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys checking out the Jets. It all begins with JB and the fellas. Getting you focused for football on the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself. I've been there 2 weeks in a row. I went back to back. All right, so really quickly. I've laid out my drill for those weekends. Really quickly. I fly Saturday morning. I get in Saturday evening. I go right to the hotel. I do the same thing. I order the same food. I get up at the same time. I go to the studio the next morning. Always the same thing. And never any real issues or things like that. So when I was going to LAX on Saturday morning, the airline, who shall remain nameless, because I'm not one of those guys who, if there's an issue traveling, I go right to Twitter to cry about it. It's travel, man. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. And I get a notification saying that my 9:30 flight has been delayed till 8 p.m. Not delayed, but delayed until 8 p.m. So I know that one of you are like clowning me. It's a joke. It's not true. But then I get there and I could just feel the whole vibe of the airport was off. Like there was something going on. And sure enough, that plane was delayed until 8 p.m. So I quickly did the math. Let's see. If I leave at 8, that puts me in New York City around 1 or 1:30, which is really 4:30, which puts me in the hotel at about 5:30, which is when my alarm clock goes off. So I would get there, check in, go upstairs, and then change into my TV clothes. That would have been pretty rough. So luckily, we got on another plane. And it may seem to you that, yeah, man, how hard is that, Rome? Just book another flight. A little tougher on a Saturday morning going through corporate than you might imagine. CBS steps up big. Craig Kitchen steps up big. I get the flight. So that was kind of cool. Not as good as being first on the downgrade list, but good nonetheless. An 11-hour delay is strong. And then I saw a couple of dudes who had the same problem. We ended up on the same flight. And I heard this one guy, like, into his blower. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know what happened. I knew it was a mechanical issue. I heard homeboy in front of me telling somebody else. Like, I didn't want to eavesdrop, but the guy was going pretty loud. And he didn't even try to hide it. And he's going on about how they lost the keys. They lost the keys. What? Like, jumbo jets have keys? Like ignition keys? Like, do they put the key in the ignition and turn it? Or do they step on the brake and just punch the button? There are keys. Like, the pilot just walked off with the keys. You know, I didn't want to say, hey, yo, Holmes, sorry to eavesdrop, even though you were talking really loudly right in front of me, but did you just say that the pilot left with the keys and that's why you and I are on this flight? Because they couldn't find the keys? Is there not a spare key? Is there not a valet key? They have keys? I don't know, man. Maybe the pilot has a lanyard for his keys. I don't know what happened. Or was the plane in the garage and did somebody leave the garage door open? Did he leave the internal light on? Is the battery dead on the airplane? Did they forget to put oil in the airplane? Can somebody jump this 767 for me, please? Hey, have we got anybody AAA here? Anybody AAA here? We're looking at an 11-hour delay, yo. Anybody got AAA card? Anybody have a pair of jumbo jet jumper cables that I can borrow? Did somebody leave the keys inside the airplane? And does somebody have one of those little rods to Jimmy Jack the window with? Who's got a coat hanger? Does anybody have a coat hanger that we can jam inside the window to lift the lock on that door? We got a problem here. 11 hours. 11 hours. Yeah, that's pretty wild. So the 11-hour delay turned into me just getting there like 1 hour late. Totally awesome. Worked out. Hey, Rome, your flight was delayed 11 hours? That should have given you enough time to listen to half of my 2019 Smack-Off call once again. Signed, Damon Amendolara, Steam PHX. Like most of your crap, Steve, not funny at all. If this email starts with, hi, Jim, we know who it's from. Salty Sarah. Hi, Jim. Sarah, you're the best. With Sarah, because her emails are so short, I always skip to the end. I read the last chapter first. Hi, Jim. What is the difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady? Answer, there isn't any. They're both hot as hell. Right, Sarah, and you're thirsty as hell.
War Lady Clone.
Come on, Sarah. War Jacoby Brissett. Seems like everything that comes out of New England wins. All we do is win. That's just not even accurate, Sarah. How about that great coaching tree that your coach has? Do all those guys only win? How about Matt Castle? How did that go? Sarah, just stick to your brand. Talking about hot quarterbacks. Dear Jim, you were looking fitted in that blue suit on the CBS pregame. Was that another David August special? Nick Casillas in Westchester. My man, Nick. Appreciate you. Thanks for saying that. 100% David August. Always David August. Always David August. Everything I wear on that show is David August. Paid for by Van Smack. That is David August. He will appreciate the love.
Paid for.
Hey, Rome. What's the big deal with getting up at 5 a.m. to get fired? Signed, Josh Gordon's Blunt. Aaron in Omaha. All right, then. Better segment than I thought. When we return, we're still open phones. Jay Gruden out. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Just know it's not all his fault. And what I'm not fine with is Bill Callahan getting the interim head coaching job when you had the perfect guy on staff.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say that.
How do you not give it to him?
I would not say that.
All right, Dan. We are coming right back. The Dodgers. Dodger fan, how concerned were you? Twins fan, again. All of that still ahead. Also, you see Snoop at KU. For some reason, KU did not expect that. And I have no idea why. Snoop was doing Snoop things. This is what you get when you bring in Snoop. And yet KU's like, whoa, 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 we didn't know. All of that's coming up in your phone calls. But first, here's your bottom of the hour sports update. You want to come into Hooters every Monday all season long to play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every week, and Hooters grows to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. The image of somebody trying to get a locked jet window open with a hanger is funny to me. Funny to me because before I had that piece of crap Miracore that you're all aware of, the XR4TI, that actually was not my first car. That was my first new car. The first car I ever owned was a 67 Mustang. Three-speed. Believe it or not, three-speed. Three on the floor. And I cannot tell you, I mean, I was such a moron. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I locked the keys in that car. Like literally once a week, over and over and over again. I got really good at jamming that hanger in there and curving it to lift up the lock. And the optics of that are always awesome. Hey, Rome. Yeah, I did. Yo, imbecile, did you lock your keys in the car again? Yep, sure as hell did. So why don't you stoners go do what you do? Go to the stoner tree and get baked. Just go play hacky sack. I know that backpack is loaded with purple bud, man. Just get up out of my grill. I'm trying to get my keys back. So that made me laugh.
Give me back my son.
The image of us trying to jam open the window of that 767 or whatever it was. An 11-hour delay. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just cancel the flight. Oh, no. We're not going to do that. We're going to get you there. The next day? We don't quit. Not dead, can't quit. Not dead. Can't quit. Yeah, well, you know what? If you're going to be 11 hours late, you should quit. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Walker Buehler. Dodger race coming up in hour number three. So there was so much happening yesterday. And this is how busy yesterday was. I haven't even really talked about the Packers and the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Normally, when those two teams get together, that's the story of the day. Two of the most successful franchises in league history. Two teams with national fan bases. Two teams with Super Bowl aspirations this year. Meeting in Dallas. I mean, normally you lead with something like that. And I'm almost all the way through hour number two and haven't even referenced it. And the game lived up to the hype. Of course, it didn't look like it would. Not in the beginning. Not when Green Bay came out and made themselves very much at home in Jarrah's house. But then again, that's not Jarrah's house. It's not Jarrah's house as much as it is Aaron's house. Aaron is 4-0 there. The Packers are 5-0 there. And that includes a Super Bowl win. It would also explain how they got out to a 31-3 lead. And everybody was freaking out. Because it wasn't that long ago, right, that everybody was burying the Packers after that ugly loss to Philadelphia. It was not that long ago that everybody was saying that the Cowboys were arguably the best team in the NFC. And yet there they were, getting run right over by Aaron Jones, who had 182 yards from scrimmage. Four touchdowns. A Packers defense that was fired up and creating a lot of problems for Dak. But then apparently Dallas tasted their own blood. Because then they started to fire back. And they went from down 31-3 to down 34-24 with just under 8 minutes to go. Dallas was getting blown out at the start of the game, and that wasn't even the most shocking part. Neither was the fact that they battled like hell and they got back into a game and had a chance to make it a one-score game late before they missed a field goal. More shocking than both those things was Jason Garrett losing his bleep on the sideline. This guy straight lost his mind. Garrett. I mean, for anybody else, that would have just been your normal, run-of-the-mill, throw-of-the-challenge flag. But for Jason Garrett, man, that was like Hulk smash levels of rage. If you haven't seen it, the moment took place late in the third quarter. Amari Cooper was ruled out of bounds on a pass from Dak Prescott. He clearly was not out of bounds. And Garrett was pissed that he had to waste his final challenge on a play that was so obvious. And when realizing he had to, he was pissed. And he threw that flag down with bad intentions.
That's a catch. Did. And Jason Garrett is going to get a penalty flag. He took Jason Garrett and that official have been getting into it. And Garrett slammed the challenge flag down in front of that official. And then that official threw a flag on Garrett.
Yeah, I've known Jason Garrett a long time, and that's not how he conducts himself, and I know that that's what's so maddening right now is for him to draw that penalty.
And that's Scott Edwards again.
Thought Jason Garrett was going to throw hands. Speaking of hands, do you know how pissed you have to be if you're Jason Garrett to stop clapping? Not only stop clapping, but to spike a flag like that. And the side judge, Scott Edwards, hit him with a flag of his own. It might have been the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Garrett spiking his flag. Edwards throwing his flag almost simultaneously. Garrett throwing a red flag to challenge the play. The side judge throwing a yellow flag for unsportsmanlike conduct. The red flag goes down. The yellow flag goes up. I mean, it was almost like some whack performance art. Jason Garrett tried to throw the red flag into the center of the earth. Scott Edwards tried to throw his yellow flag through the roof. According to Garrett.
Apparently he didn't like how I threw the flag.
According to the ref, Ron Torbert, the flag was for, quote, abusive language toward an official, end quote. And according to Jerry Jones, that was a load of crap.
Oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before.
Oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before. Can I hear that again?
The little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before.
And then the cackling sycophants right behind him. One more time.
Oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before.
Yeah, Jerry, I see you working, as always. But let's not be calling the officials little darling. That's not cool. You know, I'm fine with your head coach losing it like that. And the side judge being ridiculous about throwing his flag. But dropping a, quote, little darling is not cool. So instead of the Cowboys picking up 27 yards for the completion, they get a net of 12 yards after the penalty. It looks not okay for coaches to scream a bunch of profanities at officials, but you can't tell me that's the first time that that's happened to that little darling. Judge. Let me say this once again. We should never know the names of the referees unless we're talking about Gene Steratore. We should never know the names of the referees, and we sure as hell should not know the names of the side judges. That's a really bad sign. And the thing is, I got to defend Garrett here. I see where he's coming from. He was already bent about a PI call earlier. Now he has to use his final challenge on a play that should have been called correctly in the first place. So he's there correcting the officials' mistakes because they keep making them. Of course he's going to be pissed. The refs make a mistake. Jason Garrett's got to pay a price to correct that mistake for them. And then he gets hit again when he nearly dislocates his shoulder, throwing the flag. I mean, I still can't believe how much fire red showed on that. It was amazing. Forget getting blown out early and then coming back to make it close. There's your real story. Ginger taking a break from clapping to spike a flag and then getting flagged for spiking that flag. Hey, Cowboy fan, why don't you and I touch base right now? How you all living? From 3-0 to 3-2. You think maybe you might have feasted on the so-called little darlings of the NFL to start the season. And it made you look a hell of a lot better than you actually are. From 3-0 to 3-2, and you never know what you're going to get. Like with this guy, I never know if I'm going to get the real one or the fake one. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Silk Bra, what's up?
Bra, greetings from the Fairmont Grand in Del Mar, bra. I am not in HB. I had to get away from the air show, bra, because the Thunderbirds and their F-16s flying over my house at 1,000 feet is no bueno, bra. So I had to bust out down to beautiful Del Mar. So I'm at the spa listening to you, bra. It's been a great show today, bra.
Wow, dude, look at you, man. That's a big-time spot. You know, I've talked about that spot in the past. How's that treating you?
Oh, it's beautiful. I had to step out because the spa pool area, bra, no cell phones allowed, bra. So I'm standing out by the golf course. There's a big palm here with a huge crow in it. So if you hear it, bra, just ignore it, bro. I feel like Edgar Allan Poe out here.
Yeah, dude, I remember I was there once. I don't know if they still do it because they changed hands, but there used to be a time where, like, they had these speakers underwater. You should hit that pool, bro, and see if you can hear the music underneath the water because they do that, too.
I'm going to wait till the show's over, and then I'm going to do that, bro.
Or listen to the show underwater.
All right.
All right, you got that, bro.
All
right, good job. All right, bro. Way to humble brag me. All right, so that's Silk Bra letting us all know that he's in Del Mar. Not only in Del Mar, but at the Fairmont. Because he had to get away from the air show in Huntington Beach. And then he couldn't be at the pool with his blower, so he went to the golf course. That's not even a humble brag. That's a straight brag.
Bruh.
Straight brag. Silk brag.
Bruh.
Brag. Brag.
Bruh.
Silk brag.
Bruh.
Brag. Brag.
Bruh.
Stay tuned.
Bruh.